my pleasure to stand before you this morning, brethren. And if you're visiting with us again on behalf of the church here, thank you for coming. Come back when often you can, as often as you can. And again, we're glad you're here. Blessed is the man, Psalms 1, verse 1 reads, who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Throughout my days, I've heard a few lessons on that first verse of the first psalm written by David. And there's a lot of good things in there, and worthy of our consideration, our thoughts. I'd like you to look at the second verse of the first psalm, if you will. For this is the verse that I want to focus on this morning. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm hopeful that the verses that I recite for you today, without much explanation to them, will be a benefit to you as we talk about these things this morning. And not just for you personally, but I hope that perhaps one or two of them might help you as you try in your efforts to speak to someone else about the truth, that they might come to know what you know and want the blessings and the joys that come with being a Christian. So I hope you'll consider the verses with me today and any comments I make along those lines. His delight is in the law of the Lord. When you think of the word delight, it is expressed in some versions perhaps as joy. Maybe it is gladness or pleasure. The psalmist here says his pleasure, his gladness, his joy, his delight is in the law of the Lord. I had Kevin sing the 19th psalm this morning for us because that psalm of David, Psalm 19, the things that are written in there are a partial explanation, I guess, of what the law of the Lord is. Because you read that and somebody would say, well, what is the law of the Lord? What is that? Psalm 19 would read that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. All of them describe what the law of the Lord is. And it says that they are to be desired more than gold, much fine gold. They're sweeter than honey, the sweetest honeycomb that you could find. And then it says that by them thy servant is warned. There are things in there to warn us. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Maybe you can see why the psalmist took great joy in the testimony of the Lord. When Brother Littmer was here for his time with us earlier, his last lesson was on John chapter 6, and it left a great impression on me and how he went through that with us. I'd invite you to go back and listen to that if you haven't. The Lord that day was talking to his disciples, and there were a lot of them. And he presented them with a lot of things. And they were, as it says, hard sayings, difficult for them. It was going to require from them things that they weren't really prepared to do. Had really never thought about what it was going to take to serve, to be a real disciple of Christ. And it says in verse 66 of chapter 6, John, that from that time, many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. And Peter, the Lord turned to the 12 that were left and he asked them if they too would go away. Will you also go away? He said. And it's what Peter said right then goes with this lesson. Simon Peter answered unto him, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The Apostle John wrote in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. All of the apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus. All of them saw him. It was a requirement that they had to be able to see him, be with him. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. The word of life. The psalmist's joy, again, his pleasure, his gladness was in the word of life, in the statutes and the testimonies of the Lord, the things that were written by God himself for us. In Ephesians chapter 6, lessons have been preached on this too about the items used. It says in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We've heard this many times before. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherein you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and then this, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is interesting, and it has been noted by those in the past, that this sword is the only item mentioned that is an offensive weapon. All of them are for defense. But this one can be used in an offensive way. I bring that point out to talk what the Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 4. He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him which whom we have to do. That sword, that word of God, that the psalmist loves and takes pleasure in, knows everything. It knows everything about us, our thoughts, our motives. It can be used to defeat false teachers, but it is also used to correct us, to strengthen us, because it knows us. And we are known by him. That's a very humbling thought, brother. A very humbling thought. An amazing one at that, too. Sanctify them through thy truth. Jesus prayed to the Father. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I am the way, he said in John 14, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If the psalmist wanted to come to the Father, he had to do it through the Word and his faith in it. And it's the same for us as well. Same for us as well. In 2 John 9, the Apostle John would write, whoever transgresses and abideth not, somebody who goes beyond, that's what transgress means, to go beyond. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If any man bring not this doctrine unto you, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. You want God in your life? Do I? Abiding in the truth is important. Without it, without abiding in the truth, we can't have God. The psalmist wanted God. So he loved what would bring him to him. The only way to have God is to abide in his teachings. That's the truth. The only way to have him is to abide in him. You don't want to do that? You don't have to do that. But if you really want to abide in him, then you have to do what he asks. You have to do it every day. And his word is life. The word is truth. And the only way to God is through his word. The psalmist also wrote that on this he meditates day and night. Now when you think of the word meditate, it's not a word we use a lot. But when you think about it, it just... you need to ponder on it. You need to think about it. You need to reflect on what you're reading. These are more than just words on a page. They're meant for our benefit. We need to think about what we're reading. Does it matter, really, if it does? Everyone knows what 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, or most people do. Study to show thyself approved. And we focus on the study. And we do need to study. Yes, we do. To meditate on it requires study. But it says why? To show yourself approved unto God. You want to be approved? We're going to stand before him one day. Do we want to be approved of him? Do we want one of these, you know? a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to know how to use it. You have to be able to use it correctly. A lot of folks in this world will twist it, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But we need to be able to know ourselves, how it all fits together, and use it properly. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that what? That the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished. Everything we need to know, how to live, what to do, how to be acceptable, how to be approved, are in these pages that we have before us. Do you want that? Do you want that? In John 8, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Do you want to really be a disciple of Christ? Then we have to continue in the word. That's what Jesus says. Then you are my disciples. I am the way, he said, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to see God? You want to be with him? It has to be through Christ, who is the Word of God. As I mentioned before, there are people out in the world who teach things that aren't true. If you've ever had an opportunity to talk with someone, find out perhaps where they attend a service on a Sunday or such, and you get to talking with them, or you know something ahead of time about what they might teach at a certain place that they are attending, which requires study. But it's a benefit now because you can ask the right questions to them to get them to think about what the truth is. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, Peter, when he would write, he says, and he's talking about the Apostle Paul here, as also in all his apostles, referring to Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unwrestle or unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures to their own destruction. The word rest, W-R-E-S-T, simply has in it the idea of twisting. And there are those in life who use the scriptures and they twist them to match what they've been taught, per se, or to fit what they want and make it fit for them. And we've studied in our scriptures enough to know we can't twist it. We can't twist it. We've got to know what it says and be able to convey it in such a way that other people can understand it as well. I don't want to twist it, and I know you don't either. I told this story. As I've said before, I only have two or three that I tell. This one was about Mom, and I was a kid. Maybe I was 12. I don't know. 13. I don't know. Carol's heard it 1,000 times. I'm sure he's tired of hearing it. I was in the back seat of the car, and we would drive a long way. I didn't really know how far it was until one day when I was much older, I got in the car, and I actually drove the miles to see. We drove over 30 miles to a little country church. And I was in the back seat, she's in the front. I leaned over and I said, "Mom, how come we go so far?" "Because I'm looking out the window, brethren, and I can see all the denominational churches going down the road. All of them." And to a 12-year-old or so, at that point in my life, what makes the difference? "How come we go so far, Mom?" I can't tell you that I remember her exact words, excuse me, but it was along the lines of, "Jeffrey, if you want the truth, you'll drive 30 miles, or you'll drive 40. She didn't say all of that. That's the gist of what she was saying. If you want the truth, you'll go where it's taught. If you don't care, really care, you can go anywhere you want to go and find what you're looking for." She took us to a little Church of Christ out in the country. And I've looked a lot at what the denominational churches teach, and I compare them to the Word. That's how it has helped me. Do you love the Lord? Do you love His Word? And do you spend the time in it that you need to spend? When we had our business at home, Karen and I worked a lot on that business, and it took a lot of time. And I'll admit, I was not good at taking the time each day. Now, I can't do anything about that now. But for those of you in your 20s and 30s and 50s that are still working, let me encourage you, as I encourage the rest of us, to spend time in the Word. Because it are the words of life, and it is our only hope, is in them. Love it. Desire it each day. And may God have mercy and help us all on our walk in this life. The invitation is yours this morning, brother. If it applies to you in any way, the lesson is yours. I invite you to come forward now while we stand and sing.